Part 8 of Knowing God Deeper, by Grant Lee Morris.
Author of the NetBurst.net website.
Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, prayed David when confessing his failures. Test me, O Lord, and try me, examine my heart and my mind, says another psalm. God's longing for us to be completely open to Him goes far beyond the confession of sin. Deep calls to deep, says an anointed psalm that is so honest that it goes on to ask God, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning, because of the oppression of the enemy? Psalm 42. Many of us, perhaps most, however, are scared even to get in touch with our deepest feelings and darkest secrets. Not only does bowing to this fear do us enormous psychological harm, it seals parts of us off from God. It is hypocritical to expect God to open up and share His secrets with us if we have certain things we do not open up to Him about. If Scripture says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you," how can we expect God to get close enough to us to whisper His secrets and share His feelings, if we have areas of our lives around which we erect keep-out signs and want God to keep His distance? We could, for example, be resentful towards God about something and think it too disrespectful to God to let Him know how we feel, even though He already knows. We might be too ashamed to admit our real feelings even to ourselves. But rather than showing God the respect He deserves, muzzling ourselves actually dishonors God by considering Him too fragile or uppity to cope with the truth about some of our biggest issues. Clamming up damages us and our relationship with God. Moreover, it keeps the matter unresolved, perpetuating the impasse. It is vital that God be your best friend, the one with whom you share all your trivia, as well as all your hopes and dreams and yearnings, but also the one with whom you share your every secret, fear, worry, doubt, frustration, and pain. Nevertheless, as you follow the lead of the divinely inspired psalmists who held nothing back as they detailed all their complaints and anger and fears, try to end it with praise and thanksgiving, just as they did. Not only is the Book of Psalms a mixture of laments and praise, even individual psalms that writhe with anguish and frustration are typically adorned with praise and thanksgiving. I have some fascinating examples in the webpage. In the words of the New Testament, "In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God," Philippians 4. And as it says in Colossians, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be thankful. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God." There are several reasons why our complaints and the outpouring of our anguish should be mingled with praise and thanksgiving. These include building our faith, giving us hope, and helping us focus on the one who can save us, rather than on the problem. Another important reason, however, has been explored earlier about using feelings to foster our relationship with God. The more often we keep ourselves feeling down when talking with God, the more our mind begins unconsciously associating spending time with God, not with warmth and love, joy and peace, but with feeling down. The divine solution is not to limit outpourings to God, but to combine them with praise and thanks, because doing so lifts our spirits. But even without the positive, merely getting things off our chest can bring a degree of relief and peace, which in turn can positively affect on our feelings towards God. And all of this is even without the obvious benefits of God actually answering our prayers. Let's move on to a valuable way of hearing from God. I'm no chatterbox. If it were up to me to keep a conversation going, embarrassing silences are likely to end up haunting me. So times I spend alone with God frequently frustrate me because I can't keep the words bubbling, and to my annoyance, I don't hear God prattling on, covering the silence and keeping me focused on Him. Okay, I should humiliate myself and admit the naked truth, those silences don't just annoy, they often make me feel inferior and abandoned by God. I keep hearing everyone else saying, "God told me," and all I get is stony silence. Anyhow, the upshot is that despite any valiant attempts on my part, without God keeping up His side of the conversation, my mind drifts to meaningless things, which makes it seem a waste of time. I've found that simply praying out loud or even in a whisper can help keep me on track more than I would have expected. Switching on Christian music and using it not as background noise but to focus on the words can keep my mind on God, especially if I make the words my prayers and the outpouring of my heart. Turning Bible reading into a two-way conversation is another valuable help. Let God speak to you by what you read or use it to stimulate prayers and questions. However, there's another significant way of focusing on God and hearing from Him, and it's what this section is all about. I've been reluctant to name it because people who could greatly benefit from this approach might see the name usually given to it and dismiss it as not being for them before grasping the significance. Let me start by an apparent digression, telling you how I write web pages. It is rare for even short paragraphs to form in my head. Usually, as little as half a sentence comes to me, and if I don't jot it down almost immediately, it will be lost forever. Tiny thoughts relevant to my web pages typically sneak in at times when recording them is the last thing I want to do. It might be when I'm driving, and it is especially common when I'm snuggled in bed, more asleep than awake, and far too tired to switch on the light and start scribbling. But God is too important for me to let laziness win. It might be a minute or even hours after making the effort to put that little bit on paper, that another word or so comes, which I must also force myself to record rather than trust my abysmal memory. Rarely does the new edition perfectly dovetail with what I had previously scrawled. I eventually end up with a chaotic jigsaw that I have to keep shuffling around and modifying until the pieces meld together and become readable. If you are blessed with a more functional brain, throw a party, but my mind is an ocean of slippery fish darting all over the place, with most of them quickly vanishing forever into the depths. Journaling allows me to nail down elusive thoughts before they flash from sight, never to be seen again. It enables me to prayerfully examine them later. What makes this so important is that some of those thoughts might, after careful inspection, prove to be from heaven itself. In my early years, I used to worry that God could not be in my writing for it to be such an effort for me. I thought I was being spiritual by wanting to be God's dictating machine, but God's heart was aching not for a machine but for a partner. For some beautiful insights into this, see Creativity, Exquisite Partnership with the Divine in the links at the end of the series of web pages. I might not find writing easy, but there is someone rather special to me who didn't find being crucified for me particularly easy either. Instead of my laborious efforts proving that God is not in them, they are my precious opportunity to give a love offering as a sign of my devotion and eternal appreciation of the one who means everything to me. Much of the book of Daniel is basically about weird things coming to his mind, or sometimes to a king's mind, that Daniel had later to prayerfully re-examine in order to eventually figure out what in the world it was all about. We see this pattern over and over in the Bible, that divinely inspired account of God revealing himself to numerous people over many centuries. Consider Jesus' sayings. At first hearing, much of what he said seems so weird it would have been easy to dismiss it as being unintelligible and to simply forget it. For those, however, who in the following days or even years questioned Jesus about it or kept prayerfully reassessing what had been said, the significance eventually dawned. In fact, all of Scripture is like this. It is why the Bible emphasizes meditating on God's Word. The Lord expects us to keep chewing it over and over and over in our mind in order to gain deeper and deeper insight into what God is getting at and unravel the personal implications for us. So it is typical of how God communicates that what he says initially seems unintelligible or easy to gloss over. Often it is not God's intention for us to immediately see the full significance of what he says. That means that when he reveals something, we usually need to keep returning to it over and over, prayerfully puzzling over it before we eventually grasp all the implications. This being so, it is of obvious value to have an accurate record of what was originally said. The advantage of immediately jotting down whatever comes to mind is that if you have made a full account, no matter how rough it is, you have a permanent record of your most accurate recollection of what transpired. If you were to wait until you were certain it were really from God, let alone waiting until you know just how significant it is, that very delay could allow some of the details to fade. Don't try telling yourself that if something were truly of God, you would not forget it. God rewards faithfulness, not laziness. Once something is faithfully recorded, you have reserved the option of returning to it later to prayerfully ascertain whether it was of God or just a random event. Otherwise, it could be lost forever. If it is insulting to God and testing His patience for Him to have to repeat Himself because we deliberately disobeyed the first time, it is likewise insulting to make Him repeat Himself because we disregarded what He said earlier. When God gives us anything, our spiritual perception is rarely sharp enough to instantly appreciate its true worth. Even if we cannot currently understand its full value, however, we should at least have the sense to realize that the mere fact that if it turns out to be a gift from God, it must be of immense worth. This means that even before we are sure something is from God, if there is the slightest possibility that it could be of God, it is dishonoring to Him not to carefully preserve it until we are sure of its origin. It is obviously commendable to be disciplined enough to set aside regular times for recording thoughts about God, or perhaps from Him. We also, however, need to honor God by being open to thoughts that come at the most inconvenient times, when recording them might require even more discipline. Since things of divine significance are rarely heralded by an angelic fanfare, they could well seem hardly worth recording. They could easily seem to be your own ramblings and be only a fragment anyhow. Nevertheless, they could turn out to be more of God than is initially apparent, and by being faithful with a little, you could be given much. In other words, what starts by scribbling down just a few words, you might end up growing into something that, in essence, if not in length, is quite significant. Making your jottings private is important. For maximum effectiveness, a spiritual journal should be the intimate, embarrassingly personal, ungrammatical gushing of your soul, unhindered by the thought that someone might stumble upon them. Strive to relieve yourself of inhibitions. Don't hinder your intimacy with God by trying to make your ramblings polished or sophisticated or highly spiritual or insightful. Judge them later if you must, but not now. Whether they just dribble or gush, don't wait until they make sense. Let them be foolish. Let them confuse you, perplex you, frustrate you. You can examine them later to see where they ended up and how much of God they were, but as it is foolish to keep pulling carrots out of the ground to see if they are growing, neither should we sabotage the journaling process by inspecting our scrawls before they have grown.
In the next session, we shall see how we can find God in unlikely places and so deepen our understanding of Him.